sing.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for taking us back again Alleluia. Into your house, O Lord. Mm-hmm. We thank you considering some of our brethren came from far, O Lord. Mm-hmm. While we were still sleeping, O Lord, they were already on the roads, driving on buses, in any kind of means, O Lord, to come and fellowship and honor you. Yes, Heavenly Father, Amen. We commend them into your hands, O Lord. Do something for them, O Lord. Yes. Let their sacrifice be rewarded in a special way, O Lord. Amen. Bless us as we came. I can see your children, O Lord, well prepared, dressed up, O Lord, in their best clothes, O Lord, not to come and show off, O Lord, Amen. But to honor your presence, Amen. Heavenly Father. Let your presence be in our midst, O Lord. Let yourself lead us, Heavenly Father. Amen. Honor their commitment, honor their sacrifice, honor their respect, O Lord, for your word. Bless the Sunday schools upstairs, the little ones, the youths. Bless us, Heavenly Father. We commit the service into your hand, remembering those who are still on the way. Give them, grant them traveling mercies, and take them safely, O Lord, to the meeting. We commit our brother Maxwell, far away in Italy, O Lord. Amen. Keep him, protect him. And we want to hear good respect from his checkup, O Lord.
Amen.
Blessed be your name. Amen. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Amen. Christ, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Brother Jesse, God bless you. From Carlo. Brother Greg, God bless you. And the most amazing thing is we came and found those who came from far waiting for us. Amen. God bless you, Brother Walter. Sister Chipo, God bless you richly. We have a lot of respect for you, for showing us the way. Amen. It really deserves commendation from us. And let's try to be on time next time. We were here almost 10 minutes to the time, and almost nobody was there. I was late myself because people that came from Ballinasloe were there before me. Amen. Let's just try to be there 15 minutes at least before time, and pray and take a time to focus so that God can come and minister to us. So we are back again on our topic about the local church. So it's a few weeks we have not been there, so I think we need some recap to get up to the level, and then we can build a bit more. So today we are just going to go through some of the things we spoke of our last few times here. We are going to read 1 Timothy 5:17. It's a scripture we have been reading all through these teachings. You may remain seated. I'm going to read. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Amen. So this is one of the scriptures we have been basing our teaching on. The other one is not forsaking our assemblies, as is the habit of some. So we have been talking about the local church, what it is, and do we have to go to church? We've seen that the prophet saying going to church doesn't make you a Christian. But a true Christian goes to church. So it's not the other way around, it's the first way around. If you are a Christian, you will go to church. Because we've seen from the beginning of the church, the Christians, the first Christians, were assembling daily in the sharing of the word, in the breaking of the bread, in the fellowship, in sharing testimonies. So they were assembling daily. As we are not even assembling every day. We assemble maybe two or three times a week. But it's still your your duty to come to church, to come and fellowship with other believers. The prophet says, if you are a believer, you would like to go and meet other believers. Because in those meetings, God can minister something to you. It may not be just from the pulpit, but it may just be from greeting a brother outside. He would say something that will encourage you. So these meetings are very, very important. And especially weekdays, if you can make it, please do come. Support Wednesday meetings, they are very important. Friday meetings, they are very important. Those who can't really make it for a good reason, when you are home in the evening, you can stream. Amen. You can stream the service. It's all, most of the time we are trying to do our best to stream the service. So take those 1 hour or 1.5 hour, put on your internet and stream the service. It will minister something to you. So we were talking, lastly, we spoke about the sovereignty of the local church, where the prophet was showing that every church is sovereign. This church as we are, we have not another church somewhere that sends us instructions. That such Sunday, you have this Sunday, you have to read such scripture and talk about this and this and that. And all the churches around the world, they will read that scripture and speak about the same comments. We have not that kind of headquarters somewhere. This church is sovereign. We receive no rules, no instructions from anyone else. The Holy Ghost is our ruler. And the heaven is our headquarters. Amen. So we spoke also about the functions, the offices in the church. We spoke about the pastor. Who is the pastor? We spoke about the deacons. So we were talking about the job, the role of the church, the deacons in the church. But we are just want to come back a little bit to see in what circumstances most of these things, when Brother Branham spoke about it, it was when some few people started raising issues in the church. So we are a group of people. We don't expect things to always, that's our wish, that things should be always good. But don't fool ourselves. There'll come a day when things won't go as we expect. There'll come a day when someone will try to raise an issue or something. We have the word of God. We have the message. So we need to be taught and in what attitude to take when these kind of things arise. Because if we are not taught, someone can come here and say, you know, we are this and this and that. I give the most money in this and that, and take control. This is not a church ruled by businessmen. Amen. Because there are churches where businessmen, the one who pay the bigger tithes, he has a big chair somewhere there in there. You know, he can come anytime, his chair, nobody will touch it. We have no such things here. Even our pastor, when he's not preaching, he sits in the same kind of chairs as the rest of the people. There's no one who is above the congregation. So we need to be taught in these things and to understand how to react, how to behave if these kind of things happen. What I want to say is, it was in 57. People started raising a few issues. By the way, while I'm speaking, somebody in around this country somewhere is guilty of writing some cards to move Brother Neville out of this pulpit. You are going to settle that with me. Amen. So there was something, someone, Brother Neville was the pastor, someone, I don't know because of what, just started raising a move there, raising people against Brother Neville, that they should remove him from the pulpit. So these kind of issues, even in the prophet himself's church, people could come with issues and try to make things not work properly. But you see, from that point, the prophet start building on now the principles on which the church is built. He insisted on the sovereignty of the church. You people on the pews, all together, we make the sovereignty of the church. You appoint deacons. You appoint the pastor. There's no one who can come by his own will to say, from now on, we remove this pastor. No. The prophet said, this church, the congregation in full has all the authority. This church is built upon the sovereignty of the local church. Therefore, I have nothing to say in moving this pastor or putting one in. Even himself, the prophet, he couldn't. He said, you people are the one who control. You are the church yourself. And the church of God is the sovereignty of the Holy Ghost in that church. And the church elects its own pastors. I have nothing to do with it. And the only way this pastor could ever leave would be the pastor decide himself to go. Amen? Or the majority of the votes of the church would have to say, change the pastor. Amen? Amen. So we need to hold on to these principles. The majority of the church comes and say, pastor, we see what you have done, this and that. And it must be, we'll come to that later on. How to bring an accusation against the pastor. Because you can't just come and make an issue out of nowhere and ask that the pastor should go. There's a procedure on how you can bring an accusation, a point against the pastor, against the deacons. Again, we'll come up to that later on. But for now, if the majority, after following the right process, and the majority decide, pastor, from now on, we see that you can't be our pastor anymore, the pastor has to step down. And you have the power to appoint another pastor according to the scriptures. Amen. So it's very important. The law of majority in church, it's another issue, another capital point in the conduct of the business of the local church. The prophet says, and then if one side want to do this, and the other side want to do that, and the other side wins, the losing side, what do they do about it? Join right in with the rest of them. Say, we were wrong. Then we'll go right on. Because the Holy Ghost has made that choice. That's exactly that. Amen. If there is a vote, we are 51. And 26 people say yes. 25 people say no. The 25, according to this principle, has to say, we were wrong. We will join the majority, and things must work like that. But let's be very clear on that. This principle doesn't apply on the well-established word of God. There are intangible things in the word that you can't, you know, make vote around them. Let's say if 25 say, we want sister so-and-so to become the pastor in the church. And 26 say, no, so sorry, 26 say we want this woman to become the pastor, and 25 say no. That is not the majority we are talking about here. These people are wrong to begin with because they've gone against the principles, the core principles of the word. Amen? So sometimes the majority can be just one person. Remember the prophet Micah. He was one amongst 400. But he was the majority. Amen? Because there's principle, there's things on which we can't argue about. If I come up with something that is the word of God, and you church, you say, no, 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 we don't want that because we want to do things our own way. I am the majority in that case. If you sack the pastor because of that, God will make you pay your decision. That's why you need to be very careful in, you know, applying, in using your sovereignty. The church is sovereign, yes, but sometimes the church may be wrong. The choice of the church may not be the church, the choice of the Holy Spirit. Remember, after Jesus died, raised, and gone, There were 12. One of them, you know what happened to him, he hanged himself. The church, using its sovereignty, they said, we need to elect another one to replace the one who's gone. They made their choice. The majority voted for that other guy. I can't remember his name. Even his name is not mentioned in the Bible from that time. The only time his name was mentioned in the Bible was that time. But the prophet, sorry. Bartholomew or something like that. Okay. But the prophet says the choice of the Holy Ghost was Paul. Amen. Amen. Paul was the true 12th apostle that had to replace Judas Iscariot. But the majority was wrong in electing that other man. It was right, they accepted, they put hands on him and everything. But the true 12th apostle was Paul. So sometimes the church can be wrong in using its sovereignty. That's why the prophet says the sovereignty is the Holy Ghost in the church. You may have the numbers, but you may not have the leadership of the Holy Ghost. So that's why we'll see in a further lesson the procedure to bring accusation. Because to sack a pastor is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to sack a pastor. Someone who has been there, he has proven to be your shepherd. He has taken the lead. He has stood in the gap for years. He may commit a mistake. But it doesn't mean every single mistake he makes, you have to assemble and say, we sack him. There is a process, procedure. There are things you say, okay, we have tried this, or he's teaching us now false doctrine. We don't discuss on that. But as a human being, just because of some misunderstandings or whatever, you can't just come lightly and say, we are sacking the pastor. God will make you pay for that. Amen. So, he says about the majority, join right in with the rest of them and say, we were wrong. Then we'll go right on. Let's say if there was an issue that we have to, build this kind of building, and the other one say, no, we need it facing southward. The other one say, no, northward. Let's vote on that. 26 says north. 25 says south. Yes. The majority applies. Amen? 25 will say, okay, we see that the Holy Ghost wants the church to look northward, so we are going to join the majority and go as they said. In issues like that, amen, there are many of them, just an example. So, who is the pastor? The prophet says, you are the one who elect your pastor. You elect your trustees. You elect your deacons. You elect every office there is in the church. You, the people. And it's your duty to stand by those men. Amen? It's your duty to stand by those men. For they will make mistakes. They are mortal. They are just men. And they will make mistakes. But if the president of the United States makes a mistake, do we throw him out as president? We forget about it and move on. That's the way we want to do our church now. Amen? They can make mistakes. There's a way you can deal with their mistakes. We'll see it later. We believe in the church, in church governance. And the government is ordered of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. The pastor is always the head of the church. The pastor is always. That's God's elder. There is no higher order in the Bible for the church than the elder, which is the pastor. He is the highest order in the Bible. Amen. We are just going, we spoke about these things already. We are just making a little recap. So we saw how you can, your attitudes toward the pastor, to honor him, not to talk about your pastor in a wrong way. We saw all these things. I'm just going to just bring us back. And now the church of God, he says, yeah, we read that already. Then we spoke about the deacons. Say the deacons are the policemen of the church and the assistants to the pastor. He said they are the policemen, and their job is just to keep order in church, to watch over your spiritual walk. You have issues or whatever, they are there for that. There's something I wanted to insist on here in this principle. Let me read this first. In Church Order 63, the prophet says, deacons are policemen, and their word is law and order. And they have the authority from the church and even from the law of the nation to make that house of God be the right place. And anyone to contrary a deacon like that is subject to 2 to 10 years in federal prison. Have you heard that before? 2 to 10 years. What happened? So, I wonder if we really want to apply that, how many people will be left here? Yes, we can smile. You may not go to a physical prison, but you are playing with the word of God. Physically, you may not be in the prison, but you know, don't mingle around the things of God. Many bad things can happen. Don't interfere when the policeman is doing his job. Imagine in the road, a traffic policeman arrests a car, and because of what the policeman, as he has been taught, believes is right. You stop your car and come and start pushing out that policeman and say, let this man go. That policeman will arrest you. He may even let that man go, but he will arrest you. Because you have seen many people trying to interfere in the works of the deacons in the church. And don't try that. God will punish you. Don't try that. You know, some people, they think they know better. They think they know better and they can come and correct, you know, try and... No. Let the policeman do his job. If he's wrong, his officer, his commander will correct him. We've seen people, you are dealing with a case, just in the evening, the phone rings, hello, Brother Eli, what are you trying to do? What do you think you are? Come on, what is it? You are dealing with such and such brother. Why? Why did you say that to him? Brother, what are you trying to say? No, brother, you guys in the Dublin church, you guys. Brother, is it your business? Did I speak to you or I was dealing with that brother's case? Just be careful. Oh, no, you know the Bible says if you see your brother doing something wrong, don't talk to the deacons first. Go and talk to that brother. You are right. On that, you are right. The brother or the sister, what he did was not right. He should have gone and spoke to you. That's right. But a policeman, if a drunk driver come and tell the policeman that I've seen someone committing a crime somewhere, the policeman doesn't care whether that person was drunk, whether that person was in his right mind, but the job of the policeman is to investigate the case. Amen? Even if the person was wrong and he come to report a crime, the policeman must do his job. If someone saw you doing something wrong there and he comes, he reports us to ask, what the brother or the sister did was not right. But our job is to investigate the case. We'll deal with the brother or the sister later to tell him, sister, what you did was not right. The thing you should have done was to speak to the brother and tell him. So if he doesn't change, then come to tell us. But as long as the case has been reported to the deacons, it's the job of the policeman to investigate that case. And we'll do our job to the end. Amen? Don't Don't try to interfere in these things. It's very, very important that we hold on to these principles. And God will bless us if we walk according to these principles. If you have something, we will see. There's many things we're going to see. Some of the things that we take for granted, small, small things, but these are the things that, because the prophet says small things are the ones that hold big things together. Amen. If you take out all the nuts of the car won't hold. Amen. Small things hold big things together. These small things, conflicts between brother and sister and this and that, we'll see how to deal with them. We know these principles, but we'll come over them again and speak again because we need to know how to behave in this kind of situation. Because these are the small, small things that poison the relationships in church. You've seen brother so-and-so doing this and that. What must be your attitude? How should you deal with that brother? Don't come straight and speak to us. There's a way you can do to win your brother. We'll see it. Amen. So for now, let's hold on to that. The positions, the pastor, the sovereignty of the church, the pastor, what is his role in the church, the deacons, the relationship, you, your position, your duty towards your pastor, towards your deacons, towards the church in general. And if you know these things, whatever comes up, you'll hold on to these principles and this church will never be moved. If we abide by these principles, we are not ruled by our, origins, countries of origin, or because that brother is from Ghana, and we Ghana people, we have to support him, because if our brother is overthrown, we won't find our cause will not be defended anymore. No. We are from Romania, and brother so-and-so is from Romania, we have to support him. No. We have one flag. And our flag is the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our nationality is heaven. Amen. And we are all going to heaven. We support Brother Andrew not because he's from such and such country, not because he's of such scholar skin, but we support him because he preaches the word. Amen. Amen. And as long as he preaches the word, as long as he raises the cross of Jesus Christ, we'll be supporting him. We don't support him or we won't raise against him because he's not from our country. That's not the principle of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Help your people as we have spoken, O Lord. Let these things be anchored in us, O Lord, so that when the storm will raise, let us behave, our attitude be like well-taught people that will react according to your word, O Lord. Bless our pastor, bless our deacons, bless our trustees, bless the Sunday school teachers and any other office, O Lord. Bless the musicians, bless the cleaners, bless everyone, O Lord. We commit this church into your hand. Bless us as we take the remainder of the service into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.